Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting me, we've got Justin Ficarotta.
What's going on, Blake Buck?
And back this week, William Miller.
How you doing, guys?
Doing good. Let's just jump right into this. This is your gaming news for Wednesday, August... Damn it. And this is your gaming news for Wednesday, September 7th, 2011. Man, I thought we were going to...
Blake, you're going to skip the banter
close.
So you can get the...
I was so close!
Right. Didn't work.
I just don't want to talk to you guys. That's... the news, gentlemen. Justin Fick, what heat you got for us?
All right, I'll kick us off. So, all my news this week is all Sony centric. My first news story is Sony is showing off 18 unannounced PS Vita games at the Tokyo Game Show. So
when
this,
is that? That's a few weeks from now, is it not? Am I making that up?
I don't know. There's no date here, actually.
It's
coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, I think it's a couple of weeks. Okay. But
September 16th and 19th.
Yeah. So there are a I should read this article.
Are you pulling a Blake Buck on us?
No, Justin Fick doesn't read his articles because he's lazy. Blake Buck doesn't read his articles because he's incapable. Reading them.
Usually I get my first article read while we're doing pre-show banter, and then I can keep caught up from there.
I guess let's not get off on the wrong foot. Welcome to the best damn podcast ever. My name is Blake Buck, and co-hosting with me, we've got Justin Ficarotta of Kill Monty fame.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
Doing good. We've also got William Miller back from the dead.
How you doing, Blake Buck?
Gentlemen, how are you guys doing?
Doing all right.
Not too bad, Blake.
You know, this is our 95th show. We're almost at 100. What's going to happen? Will a secret passage appear?
We'd have planned something apocalyptic.
Will a pot of gold appear suddenly and we can stop doing this awful, awful... I mean, I love this show. How's your Reckoning Tape turning out?
Reckoning Tape's turning out pretty good. William Miller's going to London in September to show off Reckoning Tape to UK press. So, UK, get ready.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to be there.
What is the UK gaming press like? I would imagine, I don't know, they just they play games eat crumpets or scones or something.
But Europe is a huge market for us. RPG's real big in Europe.
I think the UK gaming press is like one reporter that gets up off of like Peter Molyneux's knob to ask other devs questions. Then when he's done interviewing, he goes back to Peter Molyneux's junk.
Yeah, you're gonna have to go into like his harem.
Yeah,
William. Like that's where the gaming press lives. And Peter
Molyneux have anything to do with him.
He's he's like the Merovingian from Matrix 2. He just has like he has his own little like posh like orgasm restaurant.
Now, we were talking about the 100th show. Not to give anything away, but guys, and I haven't even talked to you guys about this. Got a couple of ideas for things about the 100th show. But we'll see. I'm hiding that power for now. I've got nothing.
That just means more work. That's what that means.
I think we need to have a human sacrifice.
Well, just
for episode 100. We need to get a Mongler from the forums to come to us in real time, and we will sacrifice him.
What we need to do, y'all, is bring back, like, we need to have a battle for the ages.
Uh-oh.
The 100th episode.
Gladiator battles. Show.
Look,
this has got to pull out all the stops.
Look,
I mean...
I don't want to... Look, I'm telling you, I'll talk to you guys about this episode. You're letting them in on too much already. Don't tell them our secrets, because we don't have any. But pretend we have secrets. I'll actually release a video. Maybe that's... We don't want this to turn into that.
No, you won't. Like, I'll always be here. As long as you are here saying you're going to make some, I'll be here to shut you down.
Son of a bitch. I make this show, damn it. Sometimes when it's not late, posting, And I blame it on other people.
Our users make this show. What are you talking? Our listeners, they make the show.
Why don't we just, you know, let them do it? Why are we even here?
Yeah, we should just pass the torch. Episode 100.
Yeah, somebody else can just take TK, the domain.
It's all yours.
We need to find three impersonators.
Yeah.
Well, look, applications are due in the forums. Done. All right, anyway, this is your best damn podcast ever for Wednesday, September 7th, 2011. Hey, are you happy, Mr. Banter? God.
Where's the banter?
I'm all red up now, too. ask me about my news, Blake Buck.
Justin Vick, tell us about your news.
All right, this week in the news, Sony is showing 18 unannounced PS Vita games at TGS, which is happening in a couple of weeks, September 16th to the 18th.
Ah, good, nice. Good dates you got there.
So, it announced a nice little shitload of PS Vita games, PS3 games, and PSP games. A full list. I can read this off Tunzer Dennis style as well for the PS Vita games. BlazBlue Continuum, Shift Extend, Dynasty Warriors Next, Asphalt Injection, New Little King Story, Mahjong Fight Club, Shinobi No.
Oh, wait,
2.
Whoa. Mahjong Fight Club.
Actually, yeah. I just backed Brad up Pitt and like realized Steve what the Jay. Fuck I just read. This could be awesome.
What is Mahjong? Does it have any details on any of these games, or is it just kind of titles?
They're just announced so far, so they're just titles, but now I am Googling Mahjong Fight Club. It's also on the PSP and the DS as well. Hold on, I think I found some video.
Oh, dude.
Oh, man. PSP version video from Mahjong Fight Club. Advertisement. Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, now our connection's slowing down. I can't hear anybody.
All right. Anyway, I was going to assume that is a super violent beat-em-up game where your weapons are Mahjong tiles.
Definitely not just another boring Mahjong game. That's definitely not probably the case.
It's Konami. I'm expecting the world. In fact,
that should be written like underneath their company title, like at their corporate Konami. You would be expecting the world.
Yeah.
...
In fact, while I'm doing wishful thinking, this is where I want the 2D Castlevania team to be going to make a 2D side-scrolling beat 'em up based on Mahjong.
Oh, now, dude. I don't know if we can say this. I might want to cut this out, but I had an idea the other day. I guess anybody, you know what? I'll say this idea on the show. Anybody could do this, but think of this. Okay, you're a mid-level developer, right? Here's what you do. You know, because a fucking Castlevania has sucked forever, right? What you do is you make your game. You make like a 2D, you know, kind of Castlevania-esque game, but it's with your own art and all that. You know, you're doing kind of your own Castlevania homage. Then you drop in some Castlevania art. And you drive it over to Konami and you say, we've already made this. I'm going to make you money. I'm going to make me money. Just sign the dotted line and we'll split it. Done. And if
for
they
the
say
love
no,
of God.
You just trash that art and you still make your game, right?
Yeah.
Somebody should do that. Somebody get on it. Somebody with talent make a good Castlevania game and then make Konami buy it.
Well, the thing is, like, every 2D Castlevania game, except for the HD one, has been really good.
No, they haven't been good in a while, though. Well, what was the last good one? Like, the Game Boy Advance ones? Oh, I guess the DS ones were all right. I didn't really play
the DS ones were phenomenal.
Yeah. All of them were good.
Well, they need to get on that.
They're doing really good, releasing them once a year, and then they just stopped. So I think that team went to the Xbox Castlevania HD in its butt.
Hopefully they're working on something else, not just twiddling their thumbs, doing the old Konami thumb twiddle. Anyway, what else we got on this this list?
They also announced a bunch of PlayStation 3 games that are coming out. Notable ones on this list would be Street Fighter X Tekken, Ninja Gaiden 3. The Metal Gear Solid titles, Final Fantasy 13 2, Uncharted 3, Ico, Shadow of the Colossus, Ratchet and Clank All for One. Not on the list, however, was Last Guardian. So that was supposed to come out later this year, and now, apparently
that's
it...
That's the one by the Ico team, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's... What a shocker. Unbelievable. A high-end art game with abstract game design gets delayed.
Yeah, well, I'm not waiting for the game anymore. I'm just going to play through Ico and the rest of Shadow of Colossus on my PS2. I'm not going to wait for the HD version anymore, and, you know, I'm kind
of
giving up.
Have you ever played Shadow of the Colossus?
Yeah, I played through half of it.
Dude, I would wait for that, because, man, I tried to play it recently. Oh, my God, the frame rate on that game is just ass sex. I don't know how I played that game back in the day. It's like 15 frames a second the whole game.
Yeah, it's really choppy. But, well, that's why I stopped to begin with, is because they announced the HD remake, and I'm like, shit, well, I'll just play through the rest of it when it comes out. And then I thought it was going to come out, I don't know, what, 5 months ago?
Is this going to keep happening in the game industry? We're going to keep seeing these HD versions of everything. Like, hell, Shadow of the Colossus is only 5 years old, and we got HD. I guess re-releases happen, but it seems like they're more frequent.
I mean, like, you're going to get a lot of bang for your buck, HD Shadow of the Colossus. So that's a great game.
Yeah, that'll be good. True. But I mean,
I think it's one of the few that would really benefit from an HD remake. Because, like, true. You said, I mean, the frame rate's ass, and it's a game that was really gorgeous at the time. It could have been a lot better had the hardware been different. So I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's a good idea.
Hmm. All right, so what else? Anything else on this list, Justin Fick?
Not really. That's most of the big ones. I mean, obviously, TGS, a lot of these are very Japanese-centric. There's not a whole lot of... like little things like sound shapes or, you know, stuff like that on here that are, you know, American titles. But these are, you know, this is like the Eastern lineup. So, but
right. Okay.
It's, you know, it's a nice, healthy list of things. I mean, it's, I don't know if I'd call it a phenomenal lineup, but it's definitely better than what the 3DS had.
Hmm.
And
yeah,
so, that's true. I remain excited for
the Vita. The 3DS is still getting sweeter by the day. They announced like 5 more games for it, I think, for that little free early adopter, you know, bonus program they got. I think they added like Metroid and a couple other things to it today.
Nice.
So Nintendo's trying to sweeten the pot.
All of them. All right, I got some news. This article caught my eye. In the last, you know, maybe 2 years or so, we've seen a lot of advertisements in our tapes. You know, you'll be in GERS, and
you think there's more.
There's Coca-Cola sign.
You think there's more?
You know, you'll be in.
You think there's more in the past 2 years than like 5 years ago? I mean,
I think that, I don't know. I think that that's when it really caught on. Maybe it's earlier than that.
I remember playing San Francisco Rush on the N64 and seeing Slim Jim on the side of the, you know, highway. I mean, it's been around for a while.
Anyway, I mean, this is a pretty common thing, right? And from a marketing standpoint, it makes sense. You know, a gamer spends however many hours playing a game, whatever. We'll put our advertisement all over that, and maybe they'll buy our product. Well, there's a study out of the University of Texas that came out recently that suggests that for violent video games especially, the recall of advertisements is terrible. So they set this study up where they have this level, and half the people ran around the level with some water on the floor and dudes coming out that weren't shooting at you. And then the other half ran through the level with a gun, blood on the floor, and dudes shooting at you. And the people that ran through the first-person shooter style level, like, did not recall hardly any of the
that's common sense.
There's other things demanding their attention,
right?
Sure. So I don't know if their control shouldn't
have been like nothing, empty hallway. Their control should have been like some other equally distracting style of gameplay, not, you know, nothing but looking at walls. So that doesn't seem very
like Tetris
fair. No. Maybe I'm not describing this the right way. The levels were identical. Okay. In one of them, you were shooting dudes, and there's blood everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
In the other one, there's no blood. They're the same dudes coming at you, but you're just not shooting at them. I don't know if you can interact with them or not. I don't think they can kill you.
Well, then,
but,
hang on.
It seems like pseudoscience.
Oh, my God. I think that this speaks not necessarily to the violent nature of a game distracting people, but like you said, the interactive nature of a game sort of distracting people. There's more to do in a game than look around at the scenery. So is it really worth these companies putting their advertisements in the game? Maybe not.
I mean, I think in a game you're distracted.
It's not the fact that it's bloody or violent. I think, or it's just the fact that there are these other things that demand your attention. I mean, I'm playing a game. My attention is focused on the things that I'm doing. You know, I mean, gamers in general, and especially the ones that play violent games, they've kind of learned to sort of see past the surroundings around them, and just sort of break it down in their minds to the very base game elements. I mean, if for instance, a lot of top Quake 3 tournament players have settings turned all the way down on their graphics, so they just see, you know, pretty much the bounding boxes of all the characters. I mean, they don't really, you know, they just don't see other things that are going on. Like, they don't even see the blood on the walls, or, you know, probably even the textures on the walls after a certain point. They just see, here's an obstacle, here's a guy, I have to shoot the guy. You know, just they're seeing what they have to do and not the visuals around them as much.
I think in the same way, like, advertisers wouldn't want to try to advertise to people who are trying to juggle, right?
Yeah, exactly. I think a better experiment would have been to have a first person shooter with advertisements and Tetris with advertisements. You know, something that's equally engaging, both visually and and spatially, and just see if they will still pay attention to the shit that go, you know, just put that under the score box, you know, in their face the whole time.
Can I just say that other game you describe sounds terrifying. They're monsters in water, and you can't shoot them, and they're just, like, running at you. I don't want to play that game.
I'm trying to run. The floor's all slippery. This sucks.
Oh, but Slim Jim, sweet.
Slim Jim's his health. Dude.
No, Justific, chicken.
Chicken.
His health.
Slim Jim's ain't chicken. I'll tell you that right now.
You know what I would love to see? I think if they want players of violent games to really retain, ad impressions, and I think this would be funny as hell too. They should just have, you know, in Gears of War 3, in the middle of a firefight, Marcus Fenix just drops his gun, picks up like a can of Coke, and just like the camera just zooms in on him, just like taking like a 5 minute break as he just chugs a fucking Coke, and then says the tagline in his own voice, and then resumes shooting.
Now they need like a QTE. You got to like mash the X button.
Yeah, chug Coke.
Drink that Coke.
Here, let me call you guys. I'm getting just a mountain of lag. Or it's not lag. It just sounds like garbage.
Yeah, maybe, me too.
Let's all disconnect. How does Justin Fick record? I think he just like bites on a wire and somehow that gets the MP3.
My microphone broke a long time ago, so it's just a severed microphone cord, so I just scream into the end of it.
No wonder. I have to spend so much time filtering out your, like, shit audio, because it sounds like shit.
Because this is one of those, like, Edison wax cylinders. To record
his audio. Yeah, I just get one of those tubes in the mail every week.
He records on tube.
I don't put in Dropbox. I put in P.O. Box.
All right, so anything else on this story, Wayne Miller?
Not really. I just thought it was interesting.
All right, well, I got some news for you. Team Bondi is basically dead, is the gist of this article. So Team Bondi is the guys who are behind L.A. Noire. And you remember after the game was released, there was all this stuff that came out about, like, them withholding payments and making people work remember the 100-hour work week? Are you kidding me? And so now there's all this stuff. It sounds like the company has been more or less scuttled. That's not exactly what this says, Control of L.A. Noire developer handed to an external firm, according to Australian Securities and Investment Commission's documents. It says the fate appears all but sealed, with reports that the studio has been placed into administration. See, I don't know that's some sort of legal term. I don't know what that means. Following last month's rumor of the intellectual property assets were sold to Sydney-based multimedia production, blah, blah, blah. So basically,
I think that means somebody else is running the show. Like, they've been, their control of that studio has been handed over to some external entity, probably to dig it out of whatever hole it's in.
Documents filed with the Australian Securities Investments Commission. So Riyad Taya, I don't know, I guess that's a person's name. All those Australians. Mr. Barbecue and David Solomons of DeVries Taya were appointed as joint administrators on Team Bondi on the 30th. News comes after blah, 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 and all the terrible press they had about shitting on their employees.
Yeah, it sounds like there is a lot of unrest in that company anyway. So that could be, you know, maybe people getting fed up and leaving and, you know, just...
Yeah, it seems so strange because usually even if you have all that stuff, if a game comes out and does well, you sort it out, you know. All right, gang, let's get back in the saddle and do something. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen for these guys. Also, L.A. Noire was in development since 2003. That's a fucking epic development cycle. That's almost Duke Nukem Forever level.
Yeah, that's like, you know, finish the game and we're done.
Yeah. So, basically, while somebody might get the rights to L.A. Noire, and there's probably going to be another L.A. Noire, it is not going to be from Team Bondi. Or if it is, it's from some new form of Team Bondi, not the ones that made this game, which is probably a good thing. Just pick what you got for us.
All right, I got another Sony news for us. And so you know how I talk about, I always love Sony's hardware. Like, it always looks so hot, and I always enjoy playing with it.
Uh-oh.
Here's some Sony hardware that I don't like. So this is, I don't know if you guys remember Sony's two tablets that they announced some time ago. There is that weird, like, folded over magazine tablet, and then there is the compact purse clutch tablet.
Oh my god.
So
dude, this I just to say, I saw a picture of the little clutch purse thing. Oh my god. Oh my god.
It just looks so, like, strange.
Yeah, the DS look is stupid enough looking, right? This is like, let's take all the things that are bad about the DS and magnify them. Great, done. Have you seen a picture of this thing, Wayne Miller?
I have. It's pretty terrible looking.
I don't know. I guess two screens is the rave now, right? I guess that's what people want. I guess.
I don't know. It's
I don't think that's what
no,
people
it's,
want.
No, it's
well, that's
not
what Sony
want.
Thinks. But people getting paid like $100,000 salaries think that's what we want, so they must know.
What I don't get is, like, where did these industrial designers come from that make these things that are just hideous looking and not functional?
I think that Sony is like
people say, oh, you know, Apple, they're so successful because Steve Jobs has this magic that just permeates. It's not that. They have a really good industrial designer who makes the form fit the function of the device. And, like,
right,
no other company has been able to do that as well.
I think that Sony suffers a bit from it being because they're Sony and they're so big. I would imagine their design meetings are kind of an echo chamber, right? Where it's like, what if we made it all black and it opens up like a clutch purse? It'll be it will be sci-fi people. And they're like, yeah, sci-fi people, let's do that.
I mean, then again,
Sony,
it's the same team that's responsible for, you know, I mean, the other PSPs had really awesome designs. Like the original PSP had an awesome design. I mean, it was a little big, but you know, it was sleek. It looked hot. PSP Go was fucking hot, and the PS Vita looks hot. I mean, and
the original PlayStation 3, terrible, terrible design. Also, the PlayStation 2, terrible, terrible design. In fact, I was looking at my PS2 the other day. I was really looking at it, and I was just thinking, man, who the fuck came up with this? Like, it's got the vertical slits, you know, that, like, run. Like, that's just ugly as shit. It's like they intentionally designed it to be ugly. I don't get it.
So anyway, the first of these new tablets is coming out this month and will cost $500 US.
And how much is the iPad?
$4.99 for the base.
Well, that's the same, right? More or less. Except, you know, obviously the Sony's thing is going to suck dick, but on paper, it's the same.
They've also changed the name of it. It used to be called the S1. It is now called the Tablet S.
I like, they're so confident in all their design decisions. they change the name 3-4 times, whatever.
Ugh. So I don't know. I mean, it'll be able to download PS1 games. So will the other one, which does not have a release date. Or it does. It will go on sale in November. No word on the price, but it is now called the Tablet P. Don't ask me why.
Hmm. Yeah, like what? What do these mean? A P is the P for purse because you can close it like. Is that, I mean, seriously, is that what they're like going? Because I can't imagine. It looks like, a lady's hand, like a checkbook bag.
I think they just named these by Kaz Hirai reaching into a bag of Scrabble letters and pulling one out.
Let's see, Tablet P. Let me see if I can look it up. Maybe somebody. Let's look on Wikipedia. Maybe they got the name for it. They do not. Damn it. No one knows. Only Kaz Hirai and his Scrabble pieces. All right, well, so, Wayne Miller, you got any? Oh, you got one more for us, don't you, Wayne Miller?
Yeah, I got a quick one. I thought this was neat too. DICE. One of the DICE executives was interviewed a little while ago about their upcoming Battlefield 3. We all know, like, Battlefield 3 is competing with Activision's Call of Duty offering for the next generation of gray, realistic shooters that take place in the Middle East. But they're doing something a little bit different. They're not going to include any civilians in their game. So we all remember when Battlefield, the latest Battlefield came out, mm-hmm. and there was that whole thing where you walk into the airport and shoot up all those people, right?
I didn't technically have to.
You did not, but it was definitely a part of the game that they, you know,
engineered in such a way to
they
compel.
Engineered in such a way to, right. These guys are saying that they're not going to give you any opportunity, engineered or not. There are no civilians. It is only combat troops versus combat troops in their game. And like, while, you know, I've talked about this on the show before. I had a really powerful experience with the Call of Duty. No Russians?
Yeah.
Map. Mm-hmm. Like, that was maybe it's because I'm just not desensitized to the violence in these games or whatever, but that was a really powerful experience to me, and I respect them for putting it in. I also respect these guys, though. They're saying, you know, look, we know this game is going to be really popular. We also know that gamers are assholes and will probably shoot children if we put children in the game. So we're going to take a little bit of social responsibility here and not do that. And it's probably pretty shrewd marketing, too, if you ask me.
Now, I would debate you on both of these points, Wayne Miller. Number one, well, let me address number two first. I think, you know, if you're the villain on Fox News, you're getting just as much PR. You're getting just as much. I mean, they say there's no such thing as bad press, and that's not always true. But I think in this case, you know, having you know, if this were to develop into a controversy, it would only help the game, I think, sales wise.
Okay.
I mean, that's to be debated.
That's probably true. You're right.
But the other point I want to make, I mean, I don't. Okay, sure, you're not going out, you're not taking that step, but maybe, you know, in portraying what we're portraying is ridiculous, right? We're having a war, but, you know, like, nobody gets hurt. I mean, I guess the soldiers do, but, like, that's a part of warfare, right? Is that it's awful and horrible and terrible and should never happen, and to sort of abstract that, where it's like, oh, it's all a fantasy and nobody's really getting hurt. I mean, you see what I'm saying? Like, perhaps it's important to portray the horrors of war in a game like this.
Right. I think that's important in the right context. But when you're a gamer playing a Call of Duty or a Battlefield, you're not playing it to witness the horrors of war. You're playing it to have fun.
Well,
and, you know, like,
depends on the point of the game. I think what influenced the decision was, you know, Their games are meant to be, you know, pretty much consumed without ruffling too many feathers. I think
Right. This is the equivalent of Transformers 3, this game, except that it'll probably make more money than Transformers 3. But in the same sense, like, Transformers 3 is not trying to be, like, socially aware and, you know, driving deep philosophical points home. Neither is this game, right? This is your bread and butter.
I don't think Call of Duty necessarily was either. I'm just saying, like, I can see both viewpoints, and I'm glad that there is a representative of the other viewpoint in this spectrum. You know, like, I can understand the choice that both studios made, and I'm just glad that there are two choices out there. That's you know, that's good to me, and it makes me. I'm sure there was a lot of pressure to match Call of Duty on this count, and you know,
that's
for the developers just kind of stand up against that and say, we're not going to do that. We don't believe in that. We're not going to do that. I like that. I think that's good, and. You know, no, either one of those decisions would have been fine with me because, like you said, you know, there is, you know, like my experience with Modern Warfare, like that was a powerful experience and I'm glad that I had it. And I could have a similar thing with a battlefield with, you know, civilians running around.
And let's
but
also,
at the same time, you know.
Let's also do mention that, I mean, just like, I mean, I made the comparison to Transformers 3, but unlike Transformers 3, I would really argue that these games, maybe not by a majority, but by a significant portion, are played by young gamers. I mean,
yes.
I mean, sure, EA and the, you know, what is it? Not the MPA. What is it? ESRB, right? They can all say, oh, we follow these rules. But at the end of the day, we know that kids who probably shouldn't be playing these games are. And right. Maybe in that respect, it is smarter.
Right.
Just, I think I'm saying, like, you can let it slide because it's this big release, but... You know, perhaps it's the indie or mid-level developer's job to push the envelope where these guys aren't.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what that's what it feels like to me. Like they, you know, they made this huge social statement with, you know, with the last one. I don't know if that was the intention. And I think they realize that they have this, you know, this neck and neck popularity contest going on now with Call of Duty, and they don't want to do anything to really rock the boat too much. You know, that might be too risky a move now.
After all, they are spending, oh, what was it, like $70 million on marketing or something?
Yeah, I think it's like $200 million.
Dude, this game, budget. I mean, I know EA has deep pockets, but this game is easily... Like, they're, I don't want to say Hail Mary, because that's like things aren't going, I mean, they can recover if this game, but they are sinking probably more money into this one franchise than they've ever sunk into any individual release in the history of EA. So, there's a lot on the line for them. So, I mean, I guess Planet Safe would be smart.
Yeah, I think, you know, and at a $200 million budget, you don't want things like press about an airport shooting. You know, that is something that could conceivably really fuck them up. Like what if a week before or after the game comes out, someone shoots up an airport, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, like it actually gets really, you know, it ends up being, it, or could conceivably have really bad press and would hurt sales and that kind of thing. It's not something they want to even gamble with at a $200 million budget.
That's true. All right. Well, I guess anything else on this, Wayne Miller?
I don't think so. About wraps it up.
All right, I got a story for you guys. This one, I'm a little excited, but a little disappointed all at the same time. Child of Eden, which is my favoritest of the Kinect games, I guess it didn't perform so well at launch. Let's see. There's an article here. Let me see. I think it sold its first week a pretty shit-tastic 34,000 copies, which, you know, I guess it was a smaller release, and you don't have to sell 100,000 copies on day, but 34 fucking blows.
Yeah.
Also, that same week, what was it? Shadows of the Dam only sold 24,000. That was a bad week for game. That was what, June? Like early in June? That was a bad week. But so now it's been announced that Child of Eden, starting in next week, Microsoft is going to be including a code in Kinect bundles for a free download copy of Child of Eden with every Kinect sold.
Oh!
Which is cool, but at the same time, oh, glad I paid fucking $50 for that game like a month ago. Assholes.
Yeah, really. I mean, I've been thinking about getting a Kinect because I do want to try out Child of Eden. I do want to get Fruit Ninja. This will push me over. This will make me get it.
Yeah.
So give me them codes and I'll buy it.
And I went back and just after this announcement, I went back and played a little Child of Eden. I'm going to talk about it a little in tapes, so I'll save that. But needless to say, if you've been on the fence about it, I guess now would be the time to check out the Kinect. All right, Justific, you got any more for us?
Nope.
Oh, how did I get so much? Oh, I only have one more. Okay, my last story for you guys. This one's kind of stupid, but whatever. Deus Ex to get its own clothing line. Square Enix teams up with Muster Brand to create a licensed collection pulled from Eidos Montreal's new cyberpunk stealth shooter, Deus Ex Human Revolution. So, I'm looking at the picture here. You're going to get to wear your own little cyberpunk trench coat that they've got. You know, is there a market for this? Are people like, yeah, I'm going to get me that thing?
Cosplayers, obviously.
I'm looking at.
I think you're going to see a lot of them in the next couple Comic Cons.
I don't know, but then maybe because it's too mainstream for me. But I think that this is interesting to note that like right after the release, they're like, here's the clothing line, boom, done. I mean,
I don't think I've ever seen. I mean, I've seen some Minecraft socks, but yeah. I don't think I've seen anything more than
they got a whole. I'm looking at their online store here. They have a bunch. The trench coat that he wears in the game, $189. Yeah, I guess that's not, if you're into special, it's a specialty item from a high end. That's not so bad. Long sleeve t-shirt with some little electron looking things on it, $29. Jeans, they just look like regular jeans. I don't know why you'd pay $29 for, what does that say? I missed it. $59 or something. Bandana, more t-shirts. There's about, I don't know,
actually,
half a dozen items on here.
Yeah, I wouldn't get the trench coat, but the shirts look really cool. I would wear these shirts.
Well, you're probably a fucking nerd then, but cool.
Oh, fuck yeah, I am.
Dude, are you kidding me? I mean, come on. This one's just got an inverted triangle on it. Like, how do you even notice? Like, who's going to be like, oh, that must be a Deus Ex Human Revolution reference? It's just
a
triangle.
That's why it's cool. It's
nerd chic.
Yeah, the secret to nerd t-shirts is non-nerds can't realize what it is. It's got to be like a secret handshake to other nerds.
I can see that. Okay. Well, yeah, in that sense, I guess. But still, these jeans just look like jeans, and they're 70. I mean, I guess $70 is not that much to pay for jeans, but if you're ordering them specialty off the internet, I want a logo or something, or
yeah, just I don't not know. I don't really regular know what's special about the jeans, but. I mean, the shirts ain't too bad at, 25? And they're a little bad.
Let's see. I love these descriptions. These jeans are perfect for any situation, whether you're fighting, sneaking around, or hacking a terminal, or talking your way through the mission. Oh my god. Dude, who wrote that? Someone who has never had sex. Done. So if you're there, go check it out.
The jeans have a little inverted triangle on the ass.
Oh.
On the ass pocket. There's your Deus Ex.
Nice. All right, well, let's move on to releases. All right, who's kicking us off this week?
I can kick us off. I got it up ready to go. So we got
White Knight.
Starting September 11th, 2011. So first up is White Knight Chronicles 2. It's the second installment in the series, available exclusively for PS3. Anyone play the first one of these?
Aaron, my roommate, my old roommate, he comes over to my house all the time because I have PS3. He always buys PS3 games and plays at my house on the weekends.
This is a D3 joint as well.
Yeah, I heard it was good.
And he played the shit out of the first one. It is Grindan. It's Grindan tape. Okay. And he loved it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the screenshots here. It's just, oh my God, there's a stat bar at the whole bottom of the screen. And there's a, like, the box that tells you like, verbally types out everything that happens. You picked up 3 gold. There's that in the top left. This looks very niche, but I'm sure somebody is like, oh, goody. I'll get my Deus Ex pants in this in the same week. Take that, Aaron. let's see. Well, we got NHL 12 for PS3 and Xbox 360. Didn't hockey get canceled like last year? Is it back now? Who likes hockey? Anybody?
I only like hockey in the playoffs when it matters.
Mm.
I like riots. I pay attention to it for riots.
Hard reset. I don't know. This is skip that. What is that? That's nothing. Jessica, you want to take these last like two or three? Or there's no, oh well, there's a few at, towards the bottom here.
All right, we got let's see. Let's see. Call of Juarez, the cartel. It's the the third installment of that. We got the God of War Origins collection.
It's the HD remake of the PSP ones, right?
Yeah, that could be cool. I never played the PSP one, so I don't know if
it seems like they wouldn't look. I mean, you can update and HDify textures, but just the geometry would have to be drastically simpler, right? Are they going to add? You see what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't seem like they would look very good just from a visual perspective. And I'm looking at the screenshots. It doesn't look very good.
Okay.
I mean, gameplay, I'm sure it's fine, but just...
Yeah, I guess if you're always bland. Curious about the PSP games and never got around to them, now you can go back and play them.
Right.
Let's see. We have an Xbox 360 Kinect game called The Gunstringer.
Now, I was going to play a demo of this.
This looks kind of cool.
Have you said... What is this? It's by Twisted Pixel.
Basically, you control your character as if he was a marionette puppet, and it's like a Western shooter action game. So I don't know. It's either going to be really cool and novel, or it's going to be like any other camera game. You control shit by holding your arms up straight for hours at a time, and which will be excruciatingly painful.
Also, I saw an ad. Speaking of a little mini jank, if you buy this, I think in the first week from. I don't know if it's included with every copy of the game, but you get Fruit Ninja free. I think it's boxed in the game, I think. So,
okay.
Think about trying that out. Maybe don't buy Fruit Ninja just yet.
Okay. I'll get the Kinect and get Child Eden for free, and then I'll buy this and get fucking Fruit Ninja for free.
Dude, you're probably going to need that thing though, that wide angle lens adapter.
They better give you a new living room.
Yeah.
Who's that?
Either that or maybe I could like hang the thing from my ceiling.
Dude, I'm gonna get to a game, but I played a game earlier that it needed so much space. I'll say, but I was shocked. It was easily this one particular game was like a 10 by 10 foot area to play. Are you fucking kidding me? No one has that. Anyway, the rest of these releases look kind of dumb. So let's move on to tapes. William Miller, you said you had a tape for us this week.
Yeah, I got that Dos Equis tape.
What?
Dos Equis tape, as in the...
Deus Ex.
Oh.
I call it Dos Equis.
I was like, did they make a game about the most interesting man in the world?
That's my beer. I played like, I don't know, 10 minutes of it today before I had to get on this show with you assholes.
Well, I can add to this a little bit because I watched Ben Buck play, got it out of the Redbox tape and played it for about, I don't know, 3 hours. I don't have a whole lot to say about it, but I mean, it looked very similar to the original Deus Ex, which is good, I guess, in a way. But at the same time, like, you know, it's clear that like this is the sneaking route and this is the aggression route. You know what I mean? The things that are supposed to kind of feel intuitive and natural feel kind of set up and funny. But then again, I didn't get very far.
At what point in the game did you watch it? I mean, I think it gets a little less overt when you play it for more than
he only played it for about, I'll probably watch him play it for about 3 hours. He got through the first like mission and a half, but it seemed pretty good. I'd have to see a little more of it, but. You know, maybe you can give us an update next week, William Miller.
Yeah, it's getting good marks, but I still don't really feel the need to play it.
That's true.
I don't know. Like we got a couple copies in the office, and all the designers have been playing through the game, and it's like universally been a big win. Like the RPG mechanics integrated with the action gaming, like it works really well.
Yeah, but you forget that like that's what the original game was. You know, it's
I know.
I mean, so what I don't want to say it's a carbon copy, but like the first mission is a hostage situation, just like it was. Yes, it was in the first game.
I understand. It's the first one. It's very much like the first one, but in a good way. And other games have tried to do this and have failed. I mean, take like Alpha Protocol for example. that game try to do essentially that, right? Mix the role-playing elements with a shooter, and succeeded in some cases very well, but overall, like, the game was not very good. And so, like, this is an example of that done really well.
Hey, I think I'm on your side a little bit, William Miller, because I was last week before I saw it, I was like, ah, what is this? Come on. Another one of these, but it looked like it had some good promise. So let us know.
I'm going to get the jeans, too. We'll see how well I can sneak in the jeans.
I'm going to get you out of those jeans. Justin Fick, what have you got for us?
I've only got a mini tape this week. I really haven't had a whole lot of time to play games. But during the hurricane that we had, I had some time to finish up Sword and Sorcery EP.
Okay. How'd it treat you?
Really good, actually. It's a quick game. When all is said and done, there's the second to last mission, which is the main chunk of the game. It sort of takes a while to do just because you have to play the game during certain phases of the moon. Okay. Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. And there is something in the game that lets you fuck with it in game. So, for instance, you can make the moon something different, but for one reason or another, I decided to just put the game down and come back when it was a full moon, come back when it was a new moon, and the new moon just happened to be in the middle of the hurricane. So that was my hurricane tape. And then after I got both the new moon and the full moon items, I went through the rest of the game. It's very cool. It's very, I don't know, it's got this cool, like, mythology vibe to the whole thing, like mythology rock concert. Is what I would call it. And then, you know, now that I've beaten it, I feel like I'm, you know, I can listen to the whole soundtrack without getting any spoilers, and that's been very cool, too. It's a really awesome set of tunes. But, yeah.
Yeah, I read an aside. I read a story on somewhere that said a track from that game, like, somebody was watching, like, Jay-Z put out this, oh, here's my new, it wasn't Jay-Z. I can't remember who. I think maybe it was Lil Wayne.
Lil Wayne sampled it.
Yeah, but yeah, there's like he uses a sample from that, but it's not like
two people sampled it. It's been like two different songs from that track have been.
I don't think that Lil Wayne officially sampled it, because I think the thing that was referenced was a track he was working on, which, you know, he might just be using it for, you know, like a temp track and then replacing it with something else. So, but yeah, I mean, clearly it's popular enough that, you know, people are stealing from it, more or less.
Yeah, it's got a very distinctive soundtrack. It's a very distinctive game. Like, I mean, I guess in terms of gameplay hours, it, you know, maybe two tops. But it's just a cool game to get lost in. Like, I enjoyed the whole experience. I would play it again just to, you know, just to sort of get it again, like listening to an old album all the way through, you know, even though I know every word in the song. I mean, there's really no puzzle to it playing through it a second time. And then the battles are like the patterns are very easy to memorize as well. I mean, it's like an easy punch out, but cool. I mean, all in all, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
So thumbs up.
Thumbs way up on that one.
All right, I got two quick tapes, and whatever, they're all quick. First one, I finally beat stacking.
Nice.
Thumbs up. It's, you know, towards the end, you're like, all right, I got this game. I'm kind of getting kind of ready for this to be over. I got this whole stacking to people thing and solve the puzzles. I've done it for a while now. I got it. So it wears a little thin, and there's some DLC, and it's like, not happening.
Oh, I beat Catherine.
You playing through? Yeah. Catherine doesn't strike me as a game that William Miller would play.
Well, Aaron and I.
I'm hearing good things about it, though.
It's really good. You gotta, it's like one of those that you can play a couple times and get the different. There are eight different endings.
I thought that the gameplay though was always like kind of lame from what I saw.
That's the cool thing about that game. I mean, like there are two games.
I know the story is cool and stuff, but like the Q-Bert clone.
Hang on now. Like, the gameplay is good. The story part is really good. Like, and they do a really good job of integrating the story part of the gameplay into the puzzle. So most of the story takes place in a bar. And you can walk around the bar and like talk to the patrons, and you can drink different drinks. And like depending on who you talk to, stuff in the puzzle levels will change. Hmm. And like if you drink enough, you'll get faster in the puzzles. But different stuff will happen in the story because you're drunk. Hmm. And like all of this, it's really cool. Like all the mechanics are real tightly integrated. And the puzzles are hard and fun. Like we tried it on hard first because we were like, well, you know, we're smart. We can do this. We didn't get past the second level. It was just too damn hard. And the puzzle part of it is really, really compelling just by itself. I really like it. It's a good game.
Nice. Had a tape and didn't even know it. Look at you.
I don't know. Well, it was mainly Aaron, but I was there the whole time.
I glanced up from my codes momentarily. Let's see. What else I got? Oh, okay. I want to talk about another Kinect game I played the demo of. Now, the game is called Hole in the Wall. Now, we made fun of this because I didn't know what it was, but I went and found out what it was. Okay. Have any of you guys... Apparently, there's an American TV show called Hole in the Wall. Has anybody seen... I don't watch TV.
Have you guys seen this? Is it about restaurants or is it about glory holes?
Neither, actually.
Because I was going to say, if it's like Guy Fieri going to restaurants around the country and go visiting their glory holes.
No, well, basically, how I understood this, there's a game in Japan that on YouTube, when you look it up, it's called Human Tetris.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But this is where, like, the wall goes up.
Yeah.
It's like you're standing in a little narrow space. A wall appears in front of you.
Yeah.
It pushes towards you, and you've got to, like, fit into certain silly shapes with your partner, or you get pushed into this pool of water.
Yeah, I remember every commercial for that show in the United States showed the same, like, 300-pound little black kid trying to fit through the hole and just get pushed into the water.
Well, so I remember watching the game just on my phone in a bar, like, last fall, nonstop, and I loved it. But I guess there is an American version now, but this is a Kinect game based on the American version of that original Japanese game. And so I played it with high hopes, right? It's like, oh, I love this show. This seems like a fun thing to do at, like, parties and stuff. Oh, my God. Oh, it's so fucking bad. First of all, this is the game I was talking about. You need at least 10-foot square to play this game. It is ridiculous how much space you need. Because, like, sometimes if you're not far enough away, you can't, like, you literally can't fit through the things coming towards you. Like, it's impossible to win,
right? Oh, because your body is too big on screen.
Right, your body is too big.
Okay.
You have to be at the, whatever the Kinect's, like, closest distance, it will detect before it can't detect you at all because you're too far away. That's where this game is played. So you need a massive amount of space. Number two, the whole gameplay, it's rendered like FMV. Surely that's not the word for it anymore, but they're just video sequences that they put your little, you know, not me, but your avatar on top of. Right,
oh,
so like
God.
The camera pans in, and it's just like you can tell it's a really shittily compressed video you're watching of like sweeping across the crowd, and it's like, oh, you couldn't even like model this and have this this very crude 3D environment. You couldn't even do that much, and so it's. I mean, I guess if you had some friends, and I didn't try the 2-player mode, but nothing is sadder than one person playing this game alone. I can tell you that much.
Well, the other thing about this game too, and this it always struck me as weird about the television show is why can't you just beat every single wall by laying in a straight line perpendicular to the wall? So you lay down on your stomach, put your arms up by your head, and just wait.
Well, sometimes they're not. That's like your shoulders are fairly wide, like and your shoulders all the way across are wider than your leg is, right? And so sometimes you have to like stand on one leg, and imagine standing on one leg, your body, your shoulders wouldn't fit through that shape of your foot. But yeah, certainly you could use that on some of them, and some of them are very simple, like just make a ball to get through. But even then, even if this game was very well modeled, you know, it's a silly. I mean, you're the wall's not really there. You don't even see when you're playing the game. You don't even see your avatar. You just see kind of the Kinect outline of where you are. It's a very very like sad shit. I mean, I guess this game really wasn't meant to be on Kinect, and it seems stupid that it is, and it's a really poor job. And goddammit.
You'll have a fun Kinect game. Like my mind just made like three jumps at once. So like the hole in the wall got me thinking, like, if it's a video game, it doesn't need to be a foam wall. It can be like a bed of spikes with a hole in it, you know? but then that got me thinking, like, what if you made like a Kinect game that was kind of like Dragon's Lair? So instead of just hitting like a joystick left or right, or you know, whatever, you get like this Indiana Jones type sequence of shit that happens, and it's all like
you got to jump and grab the rope.
All that kind of stuff. So it's all like quick time events and shit like that, but it's stuff you do with your body. Maybe that could be really cool. I don't know.
You know, I would like to get behind that idea, but any game based around quick time events is not scoring high on my list. I guess that was the original quick time event, though, Dragon's Lair.
Here's the thing, too. I mean, quick time events suck because, you know, if you're Kratos and you're swinging around these chains of whirling fiery death, and I don't want to just have a giant button prompt on the screen. But
right.
if it's something where, you know, I see a rope swinging up above me and there's really no prompts anywhere, but I have to raise my hands and I grab the rope, I don't know. That could be something a lot different. That could be really cool.
Hmm. That's true.
Just a thought.
Anyway. So, hole in the wall. I mean, maybe if you had some friends and you're drunk. There's always the holdout of, like, anything can be fun if you're playing with... Because it is kind of a party game. Maybe somebody try it out with a group of your drunk friends and let us know how it goes.
I got another game idea. This is Justin Fix hole in the wall. So, it's a party game. It's for Kinect.
Uh-oh.
And, you know, so it's a glory hole game. So, you have to, like, pelvic thrust against the Kinect to insert yourself, and then after it's done, like the camera like pans up over the bathroom stall to reveal a random avatar from your friends list on Xbox.
Yeah, good luck getting that through the India Microsoft guidelines.
We're releasing on indie games.
Well, it's time for feedback. Let's see. First up, we got a voicemail. Let me get it up, queued up here for you guys.
KG.
Miss it. There we go.
Hey, guys. It's KG. You want to comment? That's something that you were talking about a couple of episodes ago about being pretentious, Cliffy B, and not being pretentious on Twitter. I don't think they're pretentious. I think they're just having fun, and like it probably annoys people that they're having fun at the job, and like, you know, like the people who follow Notch seem to be like, you know, anything Notch says, it's news, and it's, I think it's stupid. Like,
well, just to interrupt for a minute, which I can do because I have the play button. But like, I think Notch gets a pass. I don't think. Do we say Notch was pretentious?
I like Notch.
Notch's Twitter is great. I wouldn't call Cliffy B's Twitter pretentious. If I did, he's just, you know, he's not pretentious. He's just kind of a douche,
right?
And yeah. You know, it's not the slight. I mean, like he knows he's a douche. So that's kind of like his thing. That's what he enjoys doing. Like he very much enjoys his game designer rock star persona. So, you know, more power to him. Like you don't like it, unfollow him. Twitter's easy.
Look, he said chocolate and peanut butter. He will never live chocolate and peanut butter down.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's keep going here.
Who gives a shit if Notch is giving away his hat at MineCon or whatever? Or I think I don't know what I think, but fuck you guys. Bye.
I think that should be the best damn podcast ever slogan. I don't know what I think. Fuck you guys.
Thanks.
Thanks.
I like how he was so hostile towards us because we're always so hostile towards all of our listeners. We should be nice to people who call and email us. KG, we love you. Let's see. We got, I think, a few emails. Let me pull them up here. We've done this before we started. Or maybe we don't. When was the last show? It was like on the 2nd, I think. Didn't we do it last Friday?
It was late in the week, I think.
I guess we don't have any then. Or I forgot to put it. Let me see. Let me check. Did I forget? Yeah, I haven't put up last week's show. That may have something to do with it. No, I think that's it. All right. Well, that does it for this week of the best damn podcast ever. What do you guys think about that?
Good show. Short one, too. Just under an hour.
I know, man. I'm telling you. Look, and we're fast approaching number 100.
Man, yeah. We need to do something. We need to do something nice and epic.
Oh, don't worry. I got that. If I don't say anything, I'm not actually committing to anything.
But we need the top we did for episode 50, which is make our listeners make us cool shit. Do you guys remember that?
I do remember that. I liked it.
I forget whatever happened to that.
They made some board games.
Oh, that's right. We'll see. I'll tell you what. We'll have some minor details. Well, because we'll talk after the show. We'll get some stuff. We'll have some little tidbits for you guys next week.
I'm not talking to you after this. Fucking crazy.
It's just... You don't realize that me and William Miller, we hate each other. There's just, like, we don't speak outside of this show ever. So from all of us here at the Best Damn Podcast Ever, I'm Blake Buck.
I'm William Miller.
I'm Justin Fick.
I'll see you guys next time.